Welcome to the Made Up Savannah podcast. I'm your host, Dee Daniels. Made Up Savannah is a creative production of Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, serving Savannah since 1978. And the Made Up Savannah podcast is brought to you by Savoy Society, colleagues and lovers, and the Savannah Cabaret. I am so excited to be sitting at our creative studios here at the beautiful corner of Liberty and Bowl Street. Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, always bringing you this fantastic podcast and these fantastic stories. And we're actually going to talk a little real estate in this episode. Excited to have Randy Zerker, dynamic real estate agent here in Savannah and a big part of the Corcoran Austin Hill Realty team. And Melanie Edwards is also with us with Movement Mortgage. Welcome both of you to the podcast. First time to the podcast for both of you. So this is exciting.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
So, Randy, let me start with you. This is such an interesting time, and I feel like we say that every single time we talk about the market over the last, you know, couple of years. It's such an interesting time. There's a lot going on. There people want to get involved in real estate and want to have their own piece of the pie, and a lot of people are kind of scared to do it. One thing we wanted to talk a little bit about is something that's close to your heart, and that's first time home buyers. Is that even a possibility for people right now?
It is. And I guess it was about 2 years ago, I ran into this couple, and this is kind of what got me into just onto the first time home buyer thing. This couple, the man had worked out at the ports for over 30 years, and he'd just gotten married, and he was renting. If you're out at the port for 30 years, you're making okay money. Definitely money, you know, where you could buy a house. He just hadn't thought about it.
Really?
Up to that point, it was just so easy to keep paying rent. And you know, there's no issue. He had plenty of money, so he didn't mind paying the rent. But he got married, and his wife, Lisa, decided, well, she wanted a house. And so that just made me think, how many people, you know, because I got to tell you, and maybe this is just my opinion, but it feels like in this economy, if you're not born with a silver spoon in your mouth or have some kind of rich uncle, one of the only ways you're going to ever be able to accumulate any wealth is home ownership.
Right.
And so why is there such a huge part of our population that is just kept out of that?
Yeah.
You know, something to pass on to your family. You know, we all have to pay for housing. And so either you're going to pay off your own investment or, frankly, you're paying off somebody else's investment.
Right, right.
And so I want to make it available to as many people as, you know, as I can.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what got me into it. And, you know, one thing I've noticed about first-time homebuyers is they're enthusiastic, but they're scared.
Yeah.
And the main reason they're scared is they don't really know the process. They feel like they don't have anybody to help them through the process. And, you know, one thing I like to do is just kind of spell it, you know, in our first meeting is just kind of say, look, I know that you're kind of new to this. We have a step-by-step process to go through to make sure that A, you don't miss out on something, and B, you don't overpay for something.
Right.
And that's the two main things people are scared of.
Right. You know, Melanie, I feel like you must have a heart for first-time homebuyers too, because you work very closely with Randy on so many of his clients, and I think the team effort is so important. You know, especially here at Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, I feel like, you know, having someone trusted on the team. It's not just your agent. You know, it's everyone else involved, and that's so important. Talk a little bit about how you got into doing this and what your passion is, especially with that first time home buyer.
Okay. So the best story I can remember is I was 25 when I purchased my first house, and I wasn't doing mortgages at the time. I was actually in the banking business. So I knew a mortgage lender at the bank, and I just remember she walked me through it. It was crazy how much I didn't know about buying a house, even though I had been in the banking business for 6 years. And it was just, she just walked me through it and showed me every line. And I had a great real estate agent. I had a great support system that just walked me through it. And I knew exactly what I was doing. well, I'd say I loved to know what I was doing, but I followed their advice and they were very, it was very comforting. So when I bought that house, I mean, I was 25 years old, single. I mean, it was a very scary moment, but at the same time, it was very, you know, independent, made me really independent. So I always like to do that with my first time home buyers. And they, I may be sharing too much information or maybe saying way too much, but I'm never going to let them not be versed in buying that house and versed in the mortgage process. And that is, you know, it's so important to work with real estate agents closely, us as mortgage lenders, because we know what they're going through, what they're looking at to make sure they're one, comfortable with their payment, two, buying a house that's not going to be too small, not going to be too large. I mean, that they're going to feel comfortable with that payment and make sure that they are, you know, because they may hold onto that house forever. They may sell the house in a couple of years. Mm. So I definitely like to sit down, go with them over the numbers, go over them with the process, get them underwritten, get them all the financials, get all their documentation before they even start house hunting would be ideal. Right. Because then they can go and compete against some of the other offers that are coming in and beat them because they've got that pre-approval letter. We've already got them pre-approved. All the credit side is done. So that's a great benefit for first-time homeowners to have that and anyone to have that. To have that step before the cash buyers or the ones that have bought their 50th home.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. And you bring up a lot of things that I think, you know, first time home buyers would have questions about. And so, you know, maybe we can talk a little bit about that stuff. You know, Randy, I was thinking about the couple you were talking about, you know, I mean, at a certain age, most of us, you know, have a thought process about maybe we should buy a house, you know, maybe we should. But if it's all you know is renting a house, and if it's all you know, maybe that's what your parents did, maybe that's what your grandparents did,
right.
You know, maybe that's just a norm for you. And so having someone come into your life and you know, I get it's probably the wife who says, you know, right. We got to do something for us. We have to own something. We have to, I mean, that's such a huge step. It's really, it's a big deal.
You're right. If it's, I mean, for me, I mean, home ownership, it was modeled for me. You know, my grandparents owned a house. They weren't rich, you know, but they were able to own a house. And so it was just kind of what was expected. I guess to start more of those traditions would be a great thing. But a lot of it's just education.
Sure.
I think a lot of people just feel lost. It's like, this is what I know, you know. I have this lease and I know exactly what's expected of me. This is what I know. And do I really want to, you know, with such a big financial investment, do I really want to even put myself out there?
Yeah. Do you want to rock the boat?
Right.
When you're smooth sailing, probably, you know, I totally exactly. Get it.
When my mom bought her first home, she's 84 now. She was 26 years old in 1966. She had a $250 down payment, and she paid $75 a month.
Oh, wow.
Now, it wasn't a mansion. It was like a two-bedroom, one bath. But she did have a garage, and she wanted to make sure I knew she had an extra lot.
Wow.
So, but, you know, those kind of numbers, and obviously money's different now, but it's not, it's harder now,
yeah.
For sure. So, I do have some tips. If you really want to do this, I mean, make sure you're committed to it, because nobody likes a wishy-washy buyer. You know, God bless them.
Right.
No, it's what you want to do and you want to do it and start saving early. And that's how you can show that you really want to do it. You start saving, you're going to need money for earnest money. You know, speaking of which, a lot of first time home buyers I've worked with, they think I'm trying to pull a fast one when I tell them about earnest money.
Why don't you explain what that is real quick?
What I do now is I tell them ahead of time.
Yeah.
So earnest money is kind of like just putting a little deposit down, letting the buyers know that I'm serious about this purchase. It's usually somewhere around 1%. It might be more, it might be less. And what the buyer does is he writes a check or whatever and puts that money into an escrow account. And then once that property closes, that money goes to credit the buyer on the sale. If it doesn't close for some reason, it depends on the reason why, what happens with that money. For my buyers, I'm always going to build in a healthy due diligence period where they can pull out of that deal for any or no reason. And in that case, that earnest money goes straight back to them. If for some reason they default, and I make sure they know this, that money goes to the seller. And that's kind of their compensation for having the the house off the market for all the
time. Right.
You know, and so it's not a big deal, but if you've never heard of it, it's like, you want $2,000, $3,000 for
before
what?
I even do any of this?
Right. Exactly. And so I definitely want to make sure people know about that. And it is, and I don't know how they do it in other states, but it's definitely how they do it, how we do it here.
Right.
But also, you know, it's going to be good if you have some kind of a down payment. And you know, Melanie can tell you more about the different loans and first-time homebuyer programs. But at the very least, you're going to need 3% on just about any loan, unless it's a VA loan. But there's also going to be closing costs. You may run into move-in expenses. You may want to make repairs. So just start early. And early on, decide how much you can afford. You know, there are several amortization calculators online where you can, you know, plug in, you know, the house price and the interest rate and, you know, 30-year loan and figure out what your payment's going to be. If it's a lot more than what you're paying in rent, you might want to wait.
Right.
You might want to save up a little more. But if you can get by on, you know, if you can find something that you like and that you can live in about the same amount, why are you paying rent?
Right. I'm sure both of you have probably seen people come to the table and say, listen, this is what I would like. And when you break it down and you actually kind of tell them the truth, it's like, okay, you have Mercedes taste on like a Honda budget situation. Let's just be real about what we've got going on. Right. I mean, so you have to kind of break it to them. I would imagine.
And that's a benefit to them. Yeah. People consider that a benefit. It's not always easy to be honest with people, but
you kind of have to. And one of the first questions that we ask is, what do you feel comfortable as a payment? I mean, including everything. Now that's something that we do see sometimes is they'll say, you know, they want a payment of $1,500. I'm like, well, $1,500, you know, you've got principal, insurance, taxes, interest, you know, and sometimes a homeowners association fee, you've got, you know, different monthly things that they've got. And as long as they feel comfortable with that, then this is the price range you're going to look at. And then if they say, you know, I had one this morning that said, well, I can go a little bit above that. I said, okay, well, this is the price range on this, or I don't want to go that high. I want to go lower. And we can kind of figure out how much money they're going to put down. We can figure out how much their payment's going to be. So there's, you know, we can definitely get past that barrier. But you mentioned first-time homebuyer programs. There's a lot of first-time homebuyer programs. I mean, there's 100% ones. There's 3%, 5%. But like Randy said, you definitely want to have that little savings anyway for anything that, you know, you might need to replace the roof. You might need to, you know, do different things to the house, moving expenses. You want to buy some furniture. Please don't buy any furniture before you purchase the house.
Right.
Like, buy it after you purchase.
Or do anything that might affect your credit.
But we go over that with them and we talk about, you know, and if there's somebody that doesn't qualify right now, I give them the steps to show what they have to do to qualify credit-wise, you know, on their credit report, saving some money, maybe paying off something, you know, maybe waiting until their car payment's over, you know, until that's ended. If it's not the right time to buy right now, it will be in 6 months, year, whenever we're ready.
This season, we're so proud to partner up with a trendsetter and a trend breaker in Savannah's historic district, the incomparable bar and restaurant that hits all the marks and sits right at 102 East Liberty Street. I'm talking about Savoy Society. You know, we fell in love with this downtown hotspot well before we even moved here, and it's captured our hearts even more as locals. Now, it's my favorite spot to grab a lemon drop martini. Hands down, best place to get a lemon drop martini. And I even like to try something new on occasion, like a sourdough flatbread, a slider, maybe even a new cocktail if I'm living dangerously. But don't even get me started on May Gusta Mondays and the hot honey margarita, because once I tried that, Savoy Society, seriously, you had me at vinyl and wicker. The long bar, the cozy sofas, oh, and the pickled deviled eggs, and the mini hot dogs with the tots. It's a whole vibe. If you Google it, you'll see the popular opinion is the bartenders are just lovely. That's an understatement. They're really genuinely amazing. Stop by Savoy and tell them you heard about them on the Made of Savannah podcast. Savoy Society Sav, S-A-V, if you're looking for them on Instagram. Also, SavoySociety.com. Check out the full menu. I think that's one of the most important things is that plan.
It is
for people
it
because
is.
I feel like so many people think that homeownership might be just not even a possibility. Mm-hmm. And so like to start the conversation, it's like, okay, this is what I would like to do. Yeah. You're expecting sometimes the other person to come back to you, you know, and say, well, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Instead, I think, you know, what you're saying is like, you're telling people you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the plan to get the map to get there, the plan to get there. It might take 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And I actually have chill bumps from it because I just closed on, I got in back in the end of December. It was actually December 20, I think it was like 22nd. So right before Christmas. And he had come to me 2 years ago, you know, he had a lot of debt. I said, this is exactly what you need to do. I ran an analysis on him. I told him, okay, you got to get this, you know, this under whatever. And he called me, I think it was in October, and he said, I did it. Oh, and I said, you got all that stuff done. And I said, all right, let's go.
He was like,
everybody was crying in that closing. Aww. And it was a very, you know, those are the closings that I love. I mean, I love all my closings, but those are the ones that just like deep rooted.
So I want to point something out while Melanie's talking about closings.
Yeah.
This is why I only use Melanie, is because I met her at a closing.
Well, tell them how.
This is
tell
not, them. Oh, well, I mean, I was representing the seller.
The seller,
and,
yeah.
And she was there for the buyer. But here's the thing. That really doesn't happen. I mean, I'm not going to say it never happens, but I've never met another loan officer in person ever, much less at a closing. And one of the real estate attorneys that we use quite a bit around here, he's never seen it before either. So she goes above and beyond because 90% of the time something goes wrong at a closing, it's going to have something to do with the loan.
Right.
So she's there to deal with it.
Well, and that wasn't first time home buyer. It was the first time home buyer. So yeah. I always go to those closings because that can be very overwhelming sitting at that closing table where they hand out 50 pages of stuff that, you know, you've got to read in 30 minutes.
It's like you're in college again, or I don't know. It's just, like, am I signing my life over? What am I doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are questions that come in that the attorney will be like, I don't know. Let me ask the mortgage. And I'm sitting right there. So it's a little bit, you know, normally we don't like to have any surprises at closing.
Right. And it's not always easy to get a hold of somebody on the phone when time is of the essence like that. So speaking of the first-time home buyer programs.
Yeah.
Can you just go through maybe a couple? Do you have access to down payment assistance stuff?
Okay, so we have down payment assistance programs. There's two of them that we have with our company, with Movement Mortgage, and they are 3.5%, which is an FHA loan that takes care of the full down payment. So it's 100% loan. It's a first and a second, so they do have two payments. The first is a 30-year. The second is going to be a 10-year loan. So it's kind of like second. And then that is an FHA loan. So that goes by the FHA guidelines. The other option is a 5%. So it would be 3.5% would cover the down payment. And then an extra 1.5% would help with closing cost. So I had one a couple weeks ago. The lady brought $300 to closing because between the seller paying some concessions, and then the down payment assistance of 5%, she had to bring $300 to closing. So
wow.
Yeah, that was
that sounds doable.
Yeah, it does. No doubt.
And then we also have local. We have City of Savannah Dreammakers program. There are income limits on that. But I had one close a year ago that gave the customer $80,000 for down payments.
Wow.
There are some income limits and property limits. Of course, that's being inside of the City of Savannah. And then the second one then is Georgia Dream, which is a great program. They give $10,000 or $12,500, depending on if you're in like a police, law enforcement, EMS, nurses, they get $12,500.
So many people don't know anything about those being available.
They don't.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and when they finally find someone who will say, let me walk you through what's available.
Yeah.
I think it is such like, you can just see the relief of those folks that are just like, I had no idea. Like, I thought I had to just do kind of your standard deal. And if I'm not right for it, I'm not right for it. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to be able to do it. End of story.
About every quarter, I get a phone call and say, what if I don't have the 20%? And I'm like, you don't have to have 20% to put down. I mean, you can. I mean, that's great if you want to save 20%. That's your goal. But you don't have to have 20%. And
that is a misconception.
Yeah, it is.
That's wide.
Yeah.
And I think I mean, part of the reason for it is the private mortgage insurance, PMI, that people have to carry until they have 20% equity. And so explaining that to people, I think is really important.
Yeah.
Because, who's gonna save up 20%? I mean, it'd be great if you can.
Sure.
Well,
most folks can.
Yeah. Yeah. Most folks, it's tough.
Yeah. And we have people that, I mean, they may have the money for down payment, but the fact that they just want to use, I mean, like our, it's called Boost, Movement Boost Program. And so that 3.5%, it's a second loan for them. I had one, she was like, I'm going to pay off some credit cards. She had credit cards at 20%, pay that off. That second loan is not 20%. It is, you know, it's not even close. So, I mean, you can use that money. You may not necessarily need the down payment assistance, but you may want it to go use your cash for something else.
Randy, I think a lot of people too are thinking about what the market looks like right now, as far as, you're looking at houses still going very quickly. And So what does that mean for folks that are thinking about, I want to jump in and possibly, you know, look at houses, shop for houses, but the second I see something I like, it might be gone. So how do they even jump into that?
I mean, first of all, I want to say for the sellers out there who your house isn't selling in a day or two, it really does depend on the area. There's definitely higher inventory in some areas than others. And there are some houses that are sitting for weeks and sometimes months. However, it still can be very, very competitive. And so, the best thing is to walk in prepared. Get that pre-approval letter from Melanie or whoever you choose to get your loan from, but go in with a letter that already, lets the sellers know, I can afford this. So they're not, if a seller gets multiple offers, I mean, all they're going to do is look and see which one checks their boxes. And so the more boxes you can check, the more, the better off you're going to be. So that would be one thing. The other thing is don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. So we would all love to have 100% of what we want in a home, but we like to think about it as, what if it was 85%? Could you be okay with that? And I think most of us could, if we're being reasonable. And so I try to have, my people go in with the mindset that, hey, if it's 85%, don't be afraid to act, because, we don't like to use hard sell tactics. I found it very useful sometimes to just ask the question. Look, if you want to go home and sleep on it, you want to pray on it, whatever. If you get up tomorrow and you find out it's under contract, are you going to be okay with it?
Right.
Are you going to kick yourself?
That's
about
a good
it?
Question to ask. Yeah.
And so you want to think about it ahead of time.
Right.
Not someone you want to think afterward.
Right. And you think about, if you've got that 85% of everything you want, maybe we can add on, maybe we can tweak something, maybe we can fix something, do something,
absolutely,
purchase something to, just to fill that gap. Maybe we can do that next year.
Right.
But don't miss out on the opportunity.
Exactly.
I got you.
Exactly. I mean, one really important part of that I skipped is you need to pick a good realtor. You need to be careful about who you trust with this big transaction.
Absolutely.
For most people, it's the biggest investment we're ever going to make.
Right.
Interview a couple people, several people, talk to your friends and family and see, did they have somebody who really gave them a good experience, made them feel taken care of? If you get the right agent working on your side, they're going to leave a lot of those concerns, and they're going to know when to act and how to act. And like I said, the two main things people do not, of course they don't want to overpay, but they do not want to miss out.
Right.
And if that perfect house is there, I never want to be the one that is the reason they do miss out. To me, that's very important. I'm not saying pick me, but it'd be great. But whatever.
Right.
I can't handle all that business. But find somebody that's good and that has a good reputation.
It's an important relationship. It really is.
If they have something set up on Google, like a Google business,
yeah,
look at their reviews.
Sure.
There, because you don't make 5-star reviews for doing nothing.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You brought up the pre-approval process. I'd love to talk a little bit about that, Melanie. And, what does that look like? When should people get pre-approved? It's like, okay, we're thinking about buying a house. We're going to find an agent. We found an agent. And the agent says you should get a pre-approval. Do we get that before we start house shopping? Do we wait till we find something we like?
No, you need to get now.
Now.
Now. You get it
yesterday.
Now.
Yesterday.
Yesterday, exactly. No, I would definitely recommend now. The application process is, I think people get so overwhelmed with it, but it we've actually timed it. I had a friend of mine doing mortgage. I said, let me know how long it took. I think it was 12 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Like going through, and you're just entering the information. You're entering your name, social, birthday, all the information. You hit a button, submit. I mean, it's very easy. You can do it from your phone. You can do it from your laptop. And then once they do that, I give the customer a call and we go over everything. Make sure that they've got all their numbers in there correct, their employment. As long as they're W-2 or, you know, W-2 hourly or salary, we can pretty much determine that their income is where it is. If they're self-employed, I do ask that we go ahead and get 2 years tax returns, because the biggest thing with self-employed, and I've seen it, is they're going out there with a pre-approval letter, and then the lender is getting a tax returns later on in a couple of weeks, and the realtor's shown them 40 houses, and they get the tax returns, and the tax returns show not as much income as they stated.
Right.
So, and we also, you know, we'll work with them. We have outside of the box products, such as bank statement loans and stuff like that, that are not conventional FHA. But we look at that. We look at the whole picture. Once they get that entered in, then I'll send them a pre-approval letter and like a loan details worksheet, and shows all the fees that they're going to have on the loan.
No surprises.
Yeah. And I've always done this. I overestimate. And it is, I do not want any surprises at closing. I don't want to be sitting there at closing and they go, well, you told me it was going to be like, right. No. And we do get a lot of, loan details worksheets. That's what they're called. And from other lenders that show, $50 for insurance on a $400,000 house. Mm-hmm. I would love to tell you that they can. I don't know anybody insurance company that did it. Make sure that they know the numbers and go over with them and talk about, here are the numbers, here are the closing cost. Because a lot of people think, okay, well, closing costs, like for instance, I've got $20,000 to put down. Well, does that $20,000 include down payment and closing cost, or do you want to put that all toward down payment? And usually I'll ask if it's okay to share those numbers and, of course, the pre-qualification letter with the realtor they're working with, because that realtor is going to go and negotiate the seller paid closing costs, or negotiate sales price, or know what they're looking at, and make sure the customer's comfortable with the payment and make sure they're customer's comfortable with what they're having to bring to the closing table. Because, we don't want any surprises.
That's right. Yeah.
While house hunting is going on, we go ahead and get all their documents, such as tax returns, pay stubs, bank statements, and get that to underwriting. And we are at a 6-hour underwriting time. So
I was going to say, you guys have had to really step up that
we have
part of the process,
yep,
given how things have been going, I think, since COVID pretty much.
Correct.
Like you've had to speed that way up.
Well, and so all of our loans go straight from me to the underwriter. They don't go, ten years ago, it would go from like four different people and then go to underwriting. But no, it goes straight to underwriting because of that, mm-hmm, because it's a very competitive market and you've got to make sure that that person is credit approved. So there is a difference between pre-qualification and pre-approved.
Right.
And I always want to make sure that, especially first-time home buyers, any home buyers knows that. Because that pre-qualification is just based on the information that they have put in the application. So there is a pre-qualification letter. And then once they get that all that information to me, I get it to the underwriter. Underwriter comes back and says, yes, it's called conditionally approved or credit approved. We can issue a pre-approval letter. And that's huge in making offers.
Can't let you both go without talking a little bit specific about Savannah in general. One of the things we love to talk about around here is, especially with our real estate agents, is there a hot spot right now? What are people want? Is everybody still wanting to get into the historic district? Do we even have any more room, for people to get in? What are the hot spots? We are growing in every direction. So I feel like there are a lot of outlying areas that are booming.
There's a lot going on the east side. There's a lot of renovation and a lot of action going on the east side. There's always going to be low inventory on Wilmington Island. I mean, there's always, people definitely still want to be there. And when they do come on the market, they don't stay on the market. So one thing I want people to know is we say low inventory, and there isn't a whole lot of inventory on the market at any given time. There's a lot going on. I printed out a map just of, I have some buyers who are wanting to purchase in Richmond Hill. And so I just did the houses in Richmond Hill, and I did all the ones that were active, and there were, you know, probably 30 little greenhouses on the map. And then I did all the ones that were contingent or under contract, and it was just as many yellow. And then I did all the ones that had sold in the last 90 days, and there were even more that were red. And so, we have low inventory. I hate it. You know, it would be great if we had more because,
sure.
But also, you know, right now buyers, you know, a lot of buyers are scared or they're holding or whatever else. And so the message to buyers right now is it's a great time to be in it because so many other people are scared.
Sure.
You find the right real estate agent, they're going to make sure that you're financially and legally safe. You know, that's definitely, you know, at least for us at our office, if it doesn't go through Holly Powell, it doesn't go out of here.
That's right.
So, yeah. You know, she makes sure it's right.
Yeah.
So if you find a good realtor, that's the company they'll be with too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But there's a lot going on out there and there's some good deals to be had. And I think it's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah. You know, obviously on the financial end of things, Melanie, I feel like, you know, as long as people are informed, you know, they feel empowered when they have the information in front of them. So my thing is like, go in early and have a conversation with someone like you and just sit down and ask all the questions.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember, you know, our first process of buying a house and I'm just like, I have 9 million questions. Can we just talk about these things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got, you know, I tell people, I'm like, send me a text, send me a email, smoke signal, whatever you need to tell me. I mean, ask me the question. You know, I work weekends. I mean, if you wake up Saturday morning and you're like, oh gosh, what about, you know, this? I mean, text it to me and I may be still, you know, hanging out in my pajamas, but I will text you right back.
And she will get back to you.
Talking about Savannah is just, you know, one of the things that I recommend, if you don't use me, use a local lender. Mm. Local lenders, I mean, absolutely. There are some great ones here in Savannah. And we know the market. We've been here in the market. We know what, we're not a realtor. We don't do any of that. But, you know, if we have somebody that's like, you know, wants to live on Wilmington Island and they're looking for a, you know, $200,000 house, that may not be where they want to live. They might want to live somewhere else, different places. And we team up with the realtor and tell, you know, talk to them about what the customer can afford and what they, you know, what kind of market they're looking at and what kind of house. But I would definitely recommend anyone that's looking in this area to use a local lender I know a lot of listing agents will, I had one call me this week, said, you know why your customer won the offer. And I was like, why? Oh, I'm so excited. She said, well, because you're a local lender and all the other offers were all internet companies.
It's
a big deal. And you know, if there's an issue, they know where to find me. I mean, they know where my office is. They know, you know, they know that they can text me. I mean, my local reputation is, you know, it's very important to me and I want to be there for step by step.
I'm glad you brought that up. That brings a whole different level of trust. It does.
It does.
I mean, whole different level.
Yeah.
And that really kind of folds into something that at Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, but also Corcoran in general, we focus a lot more on relationships than on transactions.
Right.
And so, you know, the transactions will come. We are here to help and help in any way we can.
I know that folks can reach out to you, Randy, and also Melanie and ask all the questions. This is always such a fun conversation to have. And I know that it empowers folks to really, you know, make decisions in their life. And Savannah is such a sought after place. So, absolutely. You know, for people to be a little more empowered about how to move in and out of Savannah, move around Savannah, buy investment in Savannah, you know, buy a second house. They want to learn all of that. And so it's good to know we've got experts in the field ready to answer all the questions. So thank you guys.
Thanks so much for having us on. I really appreciate it.
This was fun.
We love your podcast.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, if you're looking for a cool spot to go, how about Habersham Village Colleagues and Lovers? Have you checked them out yet? Now, I got to tell you, If you love like theme nights and really, really great cocktails and really fantastic, well thought out food, this is the place to go. Colleagues and Lovers, Habersham Village. They've got so many cool theme nights. Now go to their Facebook or go to their Instagram to check out what's going on and what theme nights they're doing. But they've got a pizza night that is phenomenal. They've got steak night. You can even make a reservation for that if you want to be fancy. They also have service industry night as well. They do so much and give back to not only the service industry here in Savannah, but they also do so much with nonprofits in the area too. And it's just a great restaurant. Habersham Village, Colleagues and Lovers. It's one of my favorite places. Who's looking for a fun night out? I'm always raising my hand for that. It's about that time of year when we'll have some family coming into town. And of course, you want to entertain them with something new and totally fun. Well, we have just the thing. Savannah's best live music and theater experience. It's Savannah Cabaret. And you're in luck. Tickets are now on sale for the production of Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein at SavannahCabaret.com. Tickets are on sale, SavannahCabaret.com. This production is going to be everything. But you need to reserve your tickets because they will sell fast. I promise you that. The show runs April 18th through May 5th. Go ahead and get your tickets now before they sell out. Based on the classic 1974 movie, it's the hilarious show that tells the story of Dr. Frankenstein's grandson, Frederick, who is struggling to create his own legacy separate from his family's name. It's going to be a monstrous good time on Jefferson Street in historic Savannah. A fabulous cast and a laugh out loud great time, but only if you have tickets. SavannahCabaret.com. And later this year, we've got time traveling drag queens in the 1960s, maybe a little case of the cabaret killer. Doesn't that sound fun? Go get your tickets at SavannahCabaret.com. That's SavannahCabaret.com. You know, some people have a dream home. Some people have 10 dreams about buying property in 10 different places. At Cork and Austin Hill Realty, we always want you to live who you are, wherever and whatever that dream looks like. You hear businesses talking sometimes about how long they have served a city, but do you ever stop and wonder if they mean that's how long they've been in business there? Or do they really mean that's how long they've served that community? Corcoran Austin Hill Realty truly serves Savannah. Yes, I mean the region, but I really mean the people, the history, the business developers, the nonprofits, all communities, all backgrounds, the buyers, the sellers, the investors, the mom and pop shop owners, the first time home seekers, the young, the matured, and we've been doing it serving you since 1978. Corcoran Austin Hill Realty sits beautifully at the corner of Liberty and Bull Streets in historic Savannah, home of the Made of Savannah podcast studios, and home to a huge group of people ready to serve you. 251 Bull Street, Savannah. Stop in, ask questions, see local artists at Location Gallery, and check out available listings at CorcoranAHR.com. Thanks for listening to the Made of Savannah podcast. Do us a favor, write us a review, give us a rating. Make sure you subscribe or follow the podcast and share this podcast with someone you know. Follow us on Instagram at Made of Savannah, and a huge thanks to our sponsors, Savoy Society, Colleagues and Lovers, and the fabulous Savannah Cabaret. If you or someone you know has a great Savannah story to tell, be sure to get in touch with us. We would love to hear it. The welcome mat is always out.